You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as a family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples.
How's everyone doing this morning? Doing well? You alive? A little bit dreary outside. Makes you all want to sleep in, doesn't it? Yes, the response indicates. So, great. If you joined us this morning, we're happy to have you here in the room, but also online. Folks from our region, but also now in the Sacandaga Lake region. If you haven't heard, we're starting a church there. Incredible things already taking place. Actually, today, they're having their first baptism service right there in the lake, which sounds freezing to me, but awesome. So super exciting day for them, baptizing one of the first people. Which is really cool. So thanks for joining and watching from there, from anywhere in the region. You know, we believe God is really into everyone, every person who's ever lived, ever breathed, and he loves the North Country, and that's what we pray for. We believe God's doing incredible things in the North Country, and so we're excited to, you know, just keep pushing forward to see God extend his kingdom, right? So we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. What does kingdom mean? A couple thoughts. And so if you've got notes, awesome. We're going to start in Colossians 3. So this week, as I was just reading, I usually read every day in the Bible at some point. I'm not overly like regulated on the time of day. If that's you, you're awesome. For me, my life is never that simple. And so basically, I'm just reading it whenever I can. And I would encourage you to do the same. So in Colossians 3, I was reading this week, and this thought struck me as I was reading just the first verse. So let's start there. It's in your notes, or the beginning of it is in your notes. And it says this: since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. And really that first line kind of struck me, and I want to read it again. It says, since you've been raised to new life in Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. It's an interesting thought. As Paul's writing this letter, and even as we kind of read scriptures, and as we come to follow Jesus in our lives, if that's our intention, to be Christians, to be Christ followers, we see this idea that we're not supposed to be consumed by the thoughts of what's happening in this world, which is pretty much the opposite of most of our lives currently. Can we be honest? How consumed are you by the news, by social media? Just check your screen time app if you need to know. How consumed are you by, you know, maybe it's a specific news channel you love, or by what's happening in, you know, the political race in this moment, or what's happening with COVID? Does anybody still check the COVID numbers every single day? I don't. I stopped, which was healthy for me. We get consumed by the things of this world so easy, but yet Paul and Jesus, they both write really pointedly that we're, and he says it right, we're not supposed to think about the things of this earth. And when he talks about new life, he says, set your mind on the realities of heaven. What an interesting idea. The realities of heaven. Anybody want to know what the realities of heaven are? It's a big deal. If this is what we're supposed to set our mind on, then we have to understand what is it that Paul's referring to, or even that Jesus refers to in the Gospels when they speak about heaven. I think there's a lot of misconceptions around heaven. I think, you know, we have a lot of sayings about heaven that don't actually really fit what the Bible teaches. And they're not all bad, but they are misleading. You know, I've taught often from the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be his name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus teaches his disciples to pray this prayer. And very beginning of the prayer, they're supposed to pray that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you've heard me teach this probably, if you've been around at all, heaven isn't for when we die. It's for right now. And Paul was admonishing the church in Colossians this reminder, heaven is for right now, so don't get caught up and swallowed up in just the things of this earth. You have to set your mind on the realities of heaven. Now, we can all muse and surmise, and there's some alludings in Scripture to what heaven's going to look like, but I can tell you this, it's not what we know right now. It's got no division. There's no racism. There certainly is no coronavirus. There's no political parties. Thank you, Jesus. There's no political races and elections in those ways. I don't think any of that stuff exists. All the things that plague our lives, there's no brokenness in our relationships. There's no disease in our bodies. There's no dissension and division within us. And so when we see this scripture, and he says this, because you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. That as we follow God, we are not supposed to be looking at just what the world sees. We're supposed to be looking at heaven, the promises of God. The promises of what Jesus accomplished for us. The promises that Scripture point out to us. That is where our sights are supposed to lie. But how difficult is that? It's pretty difficult, isn't it? I mean, on a daily basis, let's be honest, it's pretty difficult. It doesn't take much to get us distracted. I love even Jesus in Matthew, he starts to say, you know, don't worry about the things of this world. Don't worry about the clothes you'll wear, the food you'll eat. And he says, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But yet the truth is they tend to dominate the thoughts of believers as well. Anybody ever get a bill that you weren't expecting? Anybody ever get a bill that you thought you paid? And didn't it? I always know that happens when I start getting these calls from my bank. And I see this call come on, I go, oh shoot, I thought I paid that. I know the number now, because it happens more than I'd like to admit. And honestly, I don't know why, but my bank gets in this weird thing. We don't actually bank with the bank, we use our mortgage, but I'm always like $5 short, and they won't withdraw it. But it's just like all of a sudden my whole life changes in that moment and I become distracted by the money situation or my financial situation. Or how about anybody ever get a diagnosis in your family and just like that your life changes? And everything becomes set on that thing going on in your life. Now I'm not saying we're supposed to be weird and ignore the realities of what is taking place around us. But our sights are not supposed to be set on those things. Our sights are supposed to be set on the realities of heaven, as Paul writes. You know, Philippians 3:20, let's turn there real quick. It's just a couple of pages back in your Bible. Philippians 3:20, Paul says it this way, "But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives." And if you back up just a few scriptures, he's talking about people who are not living according to the ways God's calling them to live, who are not living following Jesus. And he says this, they are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things and they think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly awaiting for him to return as our Savior. If you follow Jesus, you are a citizen of heaven first before you're a citizen of the United States of America. That may offend you. I hope it does. We are citizens first of heaven before we are actually citizens of even the country we live in. Now, Paul writes in many of his letters, in his letters, to give credence to the government in which they live. He says, pay your taxes. Honor those in authority over you. He speaks to those things, and we absolutely should do that. But first and foremost, we're citizens of heaven. And if we get those flipped in our lives, if we become citizens of the country we live in, or just citizens of humanity in a sense first before we're citizens of heaven, then our filter is actually wrong. And we make decisions based in wrong ways. Jesus becomes the side note of our life. He becomes the Sunday attendance moment rather than the guidance of what we're supposed to be and model. We're supposed to be citizens of heaven. Citizens of heaven. That's a huge thought. Hebrews 11. The Hebrews writer, we're not exactly sure who he is, but he was pretty good. It's a joke. You can laugh. Hebrews 11, if you turn in your Bibles there, he says it a little bit differently, but he's kind of admonishing the same thing. 13 through 16. He's talking about the fathers of their faith, actually. He's talking about Moses. He's talking about Abraham. And he's referring to this. And he says, all these people, he's referring to their past, their Jewish and Israel history. He says, all these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it from a distance and welcomed it. They all agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. Foreigners and nomads. That's what he's calling us as Christians. As Christians, we're almost supposed to feel a little bit displaced. We're supposed to see the promises of heaven, the promises that God has spoken over us. How many of us have promises that we've not seen happen? Every hand should be raised. Because if you don't know God yet. Because God promises us incredible things. He promises us incredible joy and healing and wholeness in our life. Yet we don't always experience that. We don't always see it right here in reality, but it's this promise that God has for us that will be accomplished, but it's this idea that it's not always right here in front of us just yet. I think that's why Jesus teaches them to pray. Pray that heaven comes now, on earth as it is in heaven. Because we're supposed to see heaven become a part of our lives. We're supposed to have this mindset that isn't focused on just what's in front of us in the moment, but actually on an eternity. I'll tell you, whenever I get really discouraged, which honestly is decently often, something happens in my life I didn't account for. I feel like, you know, I get things just in order and then things fall apart. I shared a little bit last week about, you know, hey, we were all kind of ramped up, ready for school, and then they canceled, you know, school in person. It was going to be all online. But we kind of still had this like, oh, great, well, at least our two special needs kids are going to get to be in person. And then they were like, no, never mind. Sorry, that's not happening either. And I was literally devastated by it. And I get this discouraged thing like, God, I can't do what you're asking us to do. We can't keep doing this. I say that a lot to myself. Anybody else ever say something like that? Maybe your words are a little different. And I get this thought, and then usually what happens if I actually am praying and not just complaining, they're not the same thing. And I get into a prayer and I start to ask Jesus, please help me. You know what he usually does? He doesn't always fix the situation, being honest. Actually, more times than not, he doesn't fix it. But he changes my mindset. We talked about it last week. He reminds me of his goodness. But yet often, the thing that I realize is, this life is really short, actually. I look at my kids I have three 7-year-olds right now, right? Yeah. 3 7-year-olds. And I think to myself, my gosh, I can't handle 3 7-year-olds any longer. And I get reminded, in 10 years, you won't be saying that, Craig. Ask any parent who has kids grown up. It went too fast. It happened like this. Because they have a mindset that can look back and say, oh, it's not like that. It's not like how you feel in that moment, because they have a different mindset than the one I have when I'm dealing with 3 7-year-olds. But God is kind of the same aspect in our lives. He wants to say the same thing to us. Don't look at it that way. Listen to me. Life is over just like this. You know, Moses, he wrote this psalm. And in the psalm, he likened a day to God as 1,000 years to us. Now, I don't think that that's a literal thing. But when I was younger, I kind of had this, like, musing thought, like, man, if a day is as 1,000 years to God, then how long am I here on this earth? You want to know how long we're here if we live to about 80 years old? 1 hour and 10 minutes. My lifetime in comparison to that one day to 1,000 years with God is only about 1 hour and 15 minutes. And so when I get discouraged, I ask God, change my mindset to remind me that I'm only here for 1 hour and 15 minutes. You can endure a lot in 1 hour and 15 minutes. I mean, I think one of the most difficult things about our environment right now is we have no certain end to this. Isn't that the most difficult part? If someone said, listen, on this day, I promise you everything will change. But that's not there. They're always just writing a month. We'll just reevaluate in a month. Like, this month has turned into a long month. When that uncertainty is in our lives, we don't know how to really act in it. But God has kind of given us this certainty that, listen, you may live to 80, 90, even 100 or beyond, but guess what? It all changes. Now, it's supposed to change now within us with that mindset and with that reality set on heaven. But there's a promise with him that eternity changes for us. And when I'm discouraged and all of a sudden God reminds me, like, listen, I know it's not perfect. I know the world is broken. I know life isn't supposed to be this way. But listen, you can do this. Think about eternity. Think about the future. Think about what God has for all of us in heaven. And I'm reminded, okay, we can do this. I can do this. I can do what God's calling me to do. I can be who God's calling me to be, because my mindset isn't so inner-focused on me. It isn't so focused on my situation that's right in front of my face. I actually become focused on a larger thing. And this is what Paul is writing to these churches in the New Testament. It's what Jesus was admonishing to his disciples. Actually, I want to jump over to John 18. So this is just following Jesus' long conversation with disciples, and he prays to his Father in John 17. And in John 18, verse 36, he's actually now been taken by the Pharisees, and he's going to be held in court, and they're getting ready to kill him. And in verse 36, he's speaking with Pilate, and Pilate's like, what have you done? Why are these people so mad at you, basically? And Jesus answers this, my kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world. And Jesus was trying to get his followers, and especially his disciples, to realize the kingdom that you thought was going to happen isn't what's taking place. You have to have a different mindset. You have to understand that my kingdom isn't of this world. It's not how you understand it to be. And I think for us in this day and age, in the middle of the divisive culture that we are currently living in, we have to first remember that we are part of a kingdom that is not of this world. We are citizens, not first of this earth or of this country in which we live. We are citizens first of heaven. And when our eyes get lifted off of that, When our eyes get lifted off of all of those circumstances so blatantly consuming our thoughts and our lives, I think God will do something incredible. First within us. You know, there's that famous quote, be the change you want to see in the world. Change always has to begin with you first. We can't expect the world to get its life straightened out or its act together if our own act isn't together either. And I'll promise you this, your act will never get together in your life if your mindset isn't first changed. Our thoughts determine all of our actions. It's why Jesus and even Paul, they constantly speak to the mindset of people because they realize unless our mindsets are changed, unless the Holy Spirit comes into us and changes the wiring within this thing, that we'll just continue to act the same way. I loved what Sherry said on the video, that maybe you could muster up enough willpower to be different for 30 days or 60 days, whether it's a relationship or whether it's just something in your life. We can sometimes muster the willpower to change ourselves a little bit, but unless the heart changes or really the mind changes, we don't change. And God wants a people that realize that our lives aren't all about here and now on this earth. We have to have a bigger picture. We have to have a bigger mindset. 1 Peter 2:11, Peter writes and he says this, it's same language. Dear friends, I warn you, as temporary residents and foreigners, to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your souls. He's warning us as temporary residents. It's an interesting big thought, isn't it? It's hard for us to conceive. It really is hard for us to capture. But God wants us to have an idea in our hearts, an idea in our minds, that we're really temporary residents here. And that while we're here, we're not supposed to just participate in everything the world does. We're actually supposed to introduce a completely new world. A world based on heaven. We're supposed to pray for it to come to pass in our lives, in our minds, and in the world around us. We're supposed to see heaven taking place here on earth. Now, I don't know. You know, people have asked me a lot lately, is this the end? Like, I don't think so. I am no expert on the book of Revelation, I'll promise you that. But what I do know is this, in the general sense, that there is a day that Jesus comes and changes everything again. He comes and he calls his church to him, it says. And he sets up his kingdom, however that looks. You know what? I don't even want to be set how that looks because the Jewish people were super set on how that was going to look and they were wrong. So I'm just like, I shrug my shoulders at the specifics. But I know that Jesus is coming at some point. But what's crazy is that when he left the first time, he left us with the job to help him set up his kingdom. I think that sometimes, as Christians, we have this mindset thinking about the end of the world or when Jesus returns a second time, that it's like he's going to come and do all the work. I'm pretty sure he's waiting for us to do some of the work now. Jesus even says, no one knows the day or the hour except for the Father who is in heaven. You want to know why? You want to know why they don't know the day or the hour? Because they're waiting on us. Jesus calls us co-laborers with him. Jesus actually refuses to do all the work and says, it's better that I go. I'll send you the Holy Spirit, but you are going to do these things. You are commanded to speak this way. You are commanded to live this way. And he's calling us to set up his kingdom, yet we sit mostly waiting for him to do it. I think he doesn't know the day or the hour because we get caught up in the things of this world. We make our lives all about what's happening only on this side of heaven. We make our lives all about what's taking place currently in the world around us. Now again, please, I'm not talking about living outside of reality. I'm not talking about ignoring the world. And I'm not talking about the fact that we shouldn't have a direct and distinctly powerful influence on the world around us. But it's supposed to be kingdom-minded. It's supposed to be heavenly-minded. It's not supposed to be by the rules of this world that we have influence. It's supposed to be by the rules of what Jesus has set up, which are really simple. We talk about them a lot. Love each other as I have loved you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says all of the law and the prophets can be summed up in these statements. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Often Jesus boils down all of their religious learning and says these are the basis of all things. And so for us, if we want to set up his kingdom, if we want to have kingdom mindset, if we want to have a heavenly mindset where we don't get stuck in what is happening in this world, we don't get caught up in just the workings of this world, then we have to remember the things that Jesus has taught us to do and then do them. Do them. Do them. When you are just feeling so inspired to share that condescending and ridiculous meme against the next political party, don't. When you are feeling so inspired to stand up and make your voice loud for one cause or another, at times it's probably not the best idea. Whenever our victory comes at the expense of another human, it was not God's victory. He loves all people. He's drawing all people unto himself. Our job is to love each other as God has loved us. Our mindset is supposed to be set on heavenly things. We're called to be citizens of heaven, not just citizens of this world. Romans 12, 2. I'm going to end with this thought. Many of us know this scripture. But again, it's Paul reminding the church that we're not called to be like everything around us. And he says this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Do you want to be a new person? Do you want to have this new life that Paul speaks about in Colossians? Do you want to live in a new way, not just for yourself, but for the world around you? Then we have to be transformed in the way we think. We're not supposed to copy the behavior and customs of this world. I'm not sure as Christians we look different enough. If the only thing different about us is that they notice we wake up on Sundays to go to church, or that maybe we shared a post online about the church we went to, if that's the only thing they notice, we probably aren't living different enough. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then there's a really big then. You know, I love, the Bible is full of ifs and thens. If you let God do this thing in your life, then God will be able to do this said thing in your life.
God rarely forces himself on people. He says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. And then he says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I think all of us want to know the will of God in our life, the purpose in which he created us, the design in which we were meant to live our lives. But the only way to find that, the only way to really see that, is to make sure we're not just copying the customs and behaviors of the world around us. We don't want to be copycats. You know, I used to do this message with the youth, and everybody in here that's above maybe 35 will only know what I'm talking about. And I remember I realized I was too old to do youth ministry when I preached a message, and Jessica did this message, actually it was her, on being a carbon copy, and none of them knew what we meant. Yeah, it doesn't exist anymore. But don't be a carbon copy for all you older people. Don't copy what the world looks like. Don't just let them imprint what you are for the world. We're called to copy the behaviors and customs of one man, Jesus. That's why we call ourselves Christ followers. Or Christians was just a word to mean little Christs. That's where it came from. In about the 3rd century, after Christianity had expanded to a large degree, everyone was just saying, they're just like Christ, but they're little. They're little Christ. They're just like him. I wish people would really say that about us. Christians maybe don't have that same connotation anymore. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Why don't we stand this morning? You know, there's a lot happening in our world. We're not supposed to be separate from it. We're not supposed to hide away from it. It's not what I'm preaching. We're not supposed to ignore it. But we absolutely 100% are not to be controlled and guided by it. And I believe as we lead up to, you know, another election, dealing still with a pandemic and different rules and regulations in our life, as we deal with the difficulties of the environment in which we live at this moment, Christians are supposed to look different. We're supposed to have our mindset set on something different. And guess who is the only person that can allow that to happen? You. We have to ask for it. We have to ask God, help my mind change. I can't do it on my own. I can't be different on my own. Jesus, I need you. Holy Spirit, I need you. And so I want to pray this morning as we end, and I want you to ask that for yourself. I can pray for you, but God's only going to do something in your life if you ask for yourself. And so wherever you are, whether you're in this room, whether you're watching online, whether you stumble across this later, ask for yourself, Jesus, change my mindset. Let it be set on the realities of heaven, not just the things of this earth. I'm going to pray, but I wanted to leave you with these 2 questions this week. How have we let this world's desires wage war against our souls? I love the way that it says that in Scripture. And how is God changing the way you think? This week, specifically ask these questions. How is God changing the way you think about him, about yourself, and about others? Father, we just come before you today. Jesus, we come before you today as people who maybe follow you or come to church, whatever label we put on ourselves as Christians and Christ followers, God, I ask right now, you would challenge every one of us to follow you deeper today. And God, maybe for anybody who's watching this or in this room who's never initiated that moment, God, it can just start just like this. All we have to simply do is say, God, I don't want to do it my way. I want to follow your way, Jesus. I want to receive your gift of grace in my life. God, I pray that we would do that daily. That you'd remind us this week that we're not supposed to be consumed by what's happening in this world. We're not supposed to be controlled or guided by that. God, we're supposed to have our minds set on the things of heaven. The promises you have. The goodness that you are. And God, I pray that for any one of us, that you could put your finger on our lives today and just kind of correct us, God, and even adjust us to say, listen, maybe this is controlling you too much. This is guiding you too much. This has been who you are too much. You need to switch those roles. You're a citizen of heaven first, God. God, we just let you into our lives to do that this morning. Jesus, we invite you into every corner. We invite you into every place in our heart, in our soul, in our lives. We don't want to hold you at arm's length. God, we want to let you in. And God, I pray that as Paul wrote to the Romans, that this would be true about us, that we would not be copiers of the behaviors and customs of this world, but God, we would let you transform the way we think. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing right now in our minds and in our hearts. We thank you that you have incredible things for us, God. You have great things ahead for this country, God. You have great things ahead for this region, God. You have great things ahead for families, for relationships, God. You have incredible things planned for every person in this room. God, you have purposes and destinies planned for every person that has ever, you know, breathed and lived, God. And so, God, we just call out that we won't get stuck in this world, but God, we will keep our eyes on you and on those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be blessed today. If God is doing something in your heart, I always encourage you, share it with someone else, and we will see you again soon. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.